Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Yes, good morning everyone. A very happy Wednesday, July the 1st. We are on the downward spiral to the back end of 2020. But if you're living in a hotspot area, you're probably on the upward spiral with nerves and anxiety about everything going on in your area in the last 24 hours. So we are asking everyone to stay safe, stay well, and be mindful of those around you. In the sporting world, Carlton Jack Silvani has no hard feelings towards Zach Merritt and the Bombers. We read his tweet out yesterday. Yesterday, he fronted the media and said there is no tough issues with Zach Merritt.
It's an incident that does happen often in a game. I don't think there was any malice behind it. Obviously, the outcome wasn't great, but I don't think he went into that action trying to break my rib. So I think he's probably pretty stiff to get a week for that.
Very logical is Jack Silvani. The Carlton Footy Club will open round 5 tomorrow night against St Kilda at Marvel Stadium, and the 5-day turnaround is not an issue for David Teague.
It's short in the week, which we're pretty excited about. We're looking forward to it. We actually planned over the isolation period for games 5 days apart. We thought that might have been one of the situations, so we actually trained a little bit around that. And the last couple of weeks, our Thursday session, we've actually had to pull back because the boys' intensity's been a bit higher than we thought, so we think we'll be ready to go.
Ready to go, the Carlton Footy Club. They want to keep the momentum going of the last couple of weeks. And maybe for Carlton fans, they might end up with a game that isn't a heart stopper in the final minute so they can relax and know the result without a few seconds left on the clock. We do have heaps of other footy news to come this morning. There's been a big day of hub discussions yesterday, some more fixture discussions as well. Plus the Cats, they're building up to a big milestone round of footy.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
25 to 6 on this Wednesday morning after 6 o'clock. Andrew Mays and Scotty Gullen will bring you another big episode of The Breakfast Club. The Bataki three-question quiz went off yesterday and it's back again today and it's in the hands of Scotty Gullen. So Maisie put it on to come up with those three magnificent questions. And just before 7 o'clock, we will hopefully find you a winner on the early mail. I think there might be some controversy after yesterday's, so stay tuned for that just before 7 o'clock. After 7, Australia's greatest ever netballer, Sherelle McMahon, will join the boys. It's been a big week for netball. Last week, there was the two-point super shot that was introduced for this upcoming Super Netball season, and yesterday, Netball Australia confirmed they have submitted their bid for the 2027 Netball World Cup, the 2027 Netball World Cup. So 7 years away, but already that process is in play. John Quinn from Quinn Elite Sports keeps us fit and healthy every Wednesday. Today he's going to look a bit more in depth into the art of running and different surfaces that you can run on to get different benefits through your body. Charlie Gardner from the Sydney Swans will also join the boys. They were due to face Melbourne this weekend, and the Demons were all set to be the first Victorian club to face play games with big, significant crowds. In fact, 10,000, that won't happen. The fixture was being reshuffled on Monday morning, so Sydney will now face the West Coast Eagles at Metricon Stadium. And there is a chance that New South Wales may well end up hosting one of these AFL hubs in the coming weeks. Max Purcell, a young Australian tennis player, won the Sydney leg of the UTR Pro Tennis Series yesterday against Alexander Vukic. So he'll join the boys just before 8 o'clock. And then after 8 o'clock, we go into the inner sanctum with Isaac Smith from the Hawks. They had a very ugly win on the weekend. They're sitting fourth on the table. They will head to Sydney this weekend. On Sunday night, they play the Giants. They will be without Luke Bruce for a month after fracturing his jaw on Sunday afternoon. And then to wrap it up today, Scotty McLaughlin, he won race 3 on Sunday in Sydney to extend his lead at the top of the leaderboard in the V8 Supercars, aiming for that three-peat. So it's fantastic to have all those people joining the Breakfast Club after 6 o'clock with Andrew Mays and Scotty Gullen. Before then, we've got the Breakfast Bite and plenty of news to update you all on. The back page of the Herald Sun, in fact, it's the back page of all the papers across Victoria. It's the lead story on all the sports news. Collingwood are doing an internal investigation into Steele Sidebottom and Lyndon Dunn. Steele faces a suspension for breaching the AFL's strict COVID-19 rules, as does Lyndon Dunn. They visited Jeremy Howe for more than 2 hours on Saturday afternoon to console him over his knee injury, and there are some suggestions, according to Mark Robinson from AFL 360 last night, that Steele also spent some time with Daniel Wells and they caught an Uber together, not part of the restrictions, outside of the restrictions that have been placed on AFL players. So let's have a listen to Mark Robinson last night. It was a passionate Mark Robinson who was extremely disappointed in Steele Sidebottom and the Collingwood Footy Club.
Steele Sidebottom and Lyndon Dunn visited was Jeremy Howe. Clearly a great mate, clearly a person in distress, his season's in major doubt. They went and visited him. They caught an Uber there. They shouldn't have done that. Daniel Wells, he got visited by Steele Sidebottom afterwards. And there's a bit of conjecture that Wells may have been with them when they visited Jeremy Howe. They caught an Uber, Dunn got dropped off, and Daniel Steele Sidebottom continued to Daniel Wells' house. I understand alcohol's involved. Steele Sidebottom potentially put in jeopardy this $500 million season that we're having. They've been lectured and lectured and lectured the players. There's no point in me sitting here and lecturing the new Jared. Steele Sidebottom has put at threat this game, and he's put at threat people's livelihoods because he wanted to have a few beers, it looks like, with Daniel Wells. Now, I really hope Steele Sidebottom tells the side of the story and we have got some sympathy. I want to have sympathy for him right now. But my gut feel, Jared, is I've got no sympathy if he's going to have beers with Daniel Wells, which he's not allowed to do. Gil McLachlan, he will be furious. And there's no dancing around this, Jared. He will be furious. We are talking about flying clubs to interstate hubs. What have you been talking about for 2 days on your radio program? Here on 360, riding in the Herald Sun. Hubs, 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 hubs. We've got to look after the community. And we've got a player, this one from Collingwood, who we've had previous players break protocols and they've been suspended. And then we have Steele Sidebottom, a senior person, a mature, an adult, doing something that I can't believe he would possibly say, I didn't know I couldn't do. I can't accept that.
So Mark Robinson last night disappointed in Steele Sidebottom for breaching those COVID-19 implications that are on all AFL players. So Lyndon Dunn faces sanctions for one breach, which was getting into the Uber. Sidebottom faces three breaches that included staying for more than 2 hours at Jeremy Howe's house, travelling in an Uber and visiting Daniel Wells, who is currently outside of the Collingwood staff members that he is allowed to see. So the AFL looking into that investigation, and either today or tomorrow we'll have an outcome because Collingwood will face the Bombers on Friday night. It's expected that you won't see Steele Sidebottom running around for the Collingwood Footy Club on Friday night. So they've got a couple of big outs in Steele Sidebottom and, of course, Jeremy Howe out with his injury. Robbo mentioned in there that Gil McLachlan would be furious and he's working feverishly to put up these hubs that are being talked about. And the hubs discussion reached fever pitch yesterday. We'll start off by listening to South Australian Premier Steve Marshall. He's delaying opening the borders, which then threw everything else into chaos when it comes to the South Australian footy teams.
We know that this will have a dramatic effect on the AFL, but we're adopting a position in South Australia which is not dissimilar to what has been announced for Queensland. And so any teams coming in from Victoria to South Australia will have to do that 2 weeks of isolation. Any South Australian team that plays a Victorian team or goes to Victoria to play a Victorian team will have to do that 2 weeks of isolation on return to our state.
So 2 weeks isolation for anyone who comes in contact with Victorians, so says Steve Marshall, following the lead of Queensland. Let's head down the Cattery. They've got a big game this weekend. More on that in a moment. It's a milestone game for Joel Selwood and Gary Ablett. But Chris Scott was asked about his thoughts of the Cats going into the hub. At this stage, they're scheduled to play Collingwood in Perth and stay there for a few weeks. Will that continue? Here is Chris Scott's thoughts on the whole hub situation.
And then maybe we'll come home with a rush of games here, the way it's shaping up. It's all a bit hard to predict. I don't think anyone is able to look into that crystal ball with any certainty right at the moment. the obligation from our end is to work with the AFL as much as possible to assist them in getting this season away. Because it's been an amazing challenge up to this point already, and I suspect it's going to get harder, especially with the Victorian situation. So you won't hear any complaints from us, in the short term at least. Because it is easy to say, isn't it, before you've actually got to go and do it. But I think we'll just keep reminding ourselves that there are some perceived sacrifices that many are going to have to make in the game, so that we can keep the season alive and keep really good footy people and those associated with it in jobs. Like it is, you know, we were talking about this situation as an existential threat only months ago. So to quibble over home games or travel or hubs just seems a little off the mark for mine. But I haven't heard Trav's comments, but I'm assuming he was not ruling anything out, which is prudent in the position he's in at the moment. And again, I just said that we're not going to quibble over little things. I mean, we'd love to have all the information, but the reality is that there are very few people, if anyone, that does have all the information. So in that respect, we're all forced to speculate a little bit. The challenge for us will be working out as quickly as we can what's in front of us, and disregarding the parts in the future that we're not so sure about. Because that can be the hardest part, the uncertainty. Well, we know where we are for 3 weeks, but what does it mean if we're away for another 2 weeks? Well, the best way to approach that is to get the 3 weeks you know about out of the way and worry about the next bit when it comes. We place a high priority on looking after our people as much as possible, and that includes the families of our players and staff. And I'm very confident that our club will do a great job of looking after you know, those with small children especially as much as possible. But I think I speak on their behalf when I say the fact that we've been able to get the season started is going to be a net positive for all those people, and I include my family in that as well, even if we have to put up with some short-term pain. So again, I can really only speak with great assurance on my situation, but you know, my private discussions at home have been that it would be much better for us to have a bit of short-term pain but be able to continue in my position, rather than being stuck at home in quarantine and without a salary. That would be a bigger price to pay, I would have thought.
There's Chris Scott talking about Geelong going into the hubs and then his own personal circumstances about a little bit of short-term pain for long-term gain rather than being out of a job completely. Let's move over to Lachie Neale of the Brisbane Lions. He says he's happy to go into a hub. Of course, Lachie spent much of his career over in Perth away from his family and then came back to play with the Brisbane Lions. Here is Lachie's thoughts on going into a hub.
Yeah, I think it's all happened relatively quickly and it's changing every day. So we're not exactly sure what's going to happen or what's going on, but I know that we'll be ready to roll with the punches. From a personal point of view, the game's given me so much, AFL, and this year it's probably our time to give back a little bit to the game. And so if that's spending 4 or 5 weeks away at a time, I know that I'm prepared to do that. I know everyone's in different circumstances, but footy's given me the lifestyle and my living, I suppose, for sort of 9-10 years now, and love the game. So if I can give back and whatever I've got to do to help out the game, I'll do. So, yeah, if that's living in a hub for 5 weeks and then come back here for a bit and then go somewhere else, then that's what I'll do. And I'm sure our club has a similar approach. We want to get a season done and willing to do what we can to do that. I understand the government's position as well. It's always changing and there are a lot of cases and stuff in Victoria. I'm no health expert or anything, but fully understand why the government would say that and put those measures in place. So obviously there's a big element of health and safety and whatnot for everyone, and it's not just about football at the moment. So yeah, I can understand their decision.
Lachie Neale talking about the fact that he's happy to go into a hub and he's prepared to give back to football after footy has already given him so much. Trent Cotchin of Richmond sees a different side of things with some of his teammates. We'll get to Trent in a moment. Last one on the hubs, though, is Adam Kelly, the head of footy at Adelaide. We heard earlier from the South Australian Premier on delaying those borders being opened. What impact will a hub potentially have on the Adelaide Crows, who are sitting at the bottom without a win?
Well, the best outcome for us is to get the opportunity to be playing at Adelaide Oval in front of our fans. So we haven't had that opportunity to have a home game at Adelaide Oval this season. That's something we're really looking forward to, and hopefully that eventuates, and the sooner it does, the better for us. But yeah, we understand, AFL, we're running a national competition with all states and territories that have different regulations and health authorities taking different approaches. When it comes to the South Australian government, you couldn't question the way in which they've managed through the pandemic, and we're a very safe state at the moment. So it's really for football to be flexible, and we'll just work with whatever's dealt to us.
Hoping to get a hub in Adelaide and they can play in front of their fans at the Adelaide Oval. They do need a spark of motivation, the Adelaide Crows. They take on the Dockers this week, who are also sitting at the bottom of the table without a win. So one of those teams will hopefully have 4 points after round five of the AFL. Speaking of round five, we've mentioned it a few times this week, and you've probably heard it ad nauseum, that the fixture has been reshuffled. It's been changed. It kicks off with Carlton and St Kilda tomorrow night, Collingwood Essendon on Friday, West Coast take on the Swans on Saturday. We'll hear from John Longmire in a moment. There's a milestone game down at Geelong. Joel Selwood plays game 300, Gary Ablett 350 against the Gold Coast. The Dogs play North Melbourne. Brisbane Lions and Port Adelaide, a top four clash there. Adelaide take on the Dockers. Melbourne take on the Tigers in a reshuffled game at the MCG. The GWS Giants take on Hawthorn at Giants Stadium to finish the round. I mentioned Trent Cotchin and the Richmond Footy Club. He mentioned yesterday that there might be a handful of Richmond players who will refuse to go in to an interstate hub because they're not comfortable about doing so. A couple have mentioned Shane Edwards is an expecting parent, and Basher Hooley, both weighing up whether they'll leave their partners at home. We heard Collingwood's Jordan Roughhead last week flag that he'd be reluctant to leave Victoria because his partner has a recent battle with an illness. And Chris Mayne has a young child also at Collingwood. He's seeking clarity around what the restrictions mean. But for Trent Cotchin, he was asked about the fixture being changed, and they now face the Demons on Sunday instead of the Eagles tomorrow night.
Our club got in contact with us, I think it was as early as 6 a.m. yesterday morning, which is probably effectively when they found out. Our whole week obviously changes with regards to a Thursday night game versus a Sunday game. But I think we all know that this year's got some pretty big differences to a normal year, and you need to be a little bit flexible in your thinking, but also how the week looks. Clearly, when you don't quite perform to the level that you would like as a group, you want to get out there and have another crack as soon as possible, but it also gives us an opportunity for an extra training, main training session this week to work on a few things that we know we need to improve on. I think form is one of the beauties of our game. It can turn quickly, from an individual point of view, but also from a team perspective. I think last week's game, albeit St Kilda came and played really well, it was an improvement on the week before. And these things do take a week or two to come to full effect. No doubt we're not playing our best footy, and we'd like to be, but I have full confidence in our group that we'll turn things around pretty quickly. We haven't had our review this week, but I think it's just it's a whole range of different things, learning to accept that the environment is different. We're really blessed as the Richmond Footy Club to have such an amazing support. In reality, to a lot of different clubs, we aren't quite used to having no noise at a stadium. And I don't think that's an excuse or a reason as to why we're not performing quite to the level. But, all these things add up. And, we've got a range of experience throughout our team. Guys are different. They deal with things differently. So we're just working through that and ensuring that, come Sunday this week, hopefully we're in a far better place than we were last Saturday, and a lot better place than we were the Thursday prior.
So the Richmond Footy Club building up to take on the Demons on Sunday. John Longmire is looking forward to flying up to Queensland and taking on the West Coast Eagles. Luke Parker plays his 200th game. He cannot wait to get over to Queensland and get back on the winners list after a disappointing showing against the Bulldogs last week.
Yeah, it's changed again, like it did this time last week. So it's probably the the same as far as expect the unexpected in this environment. Things change all the time. You know, I was sitting there watching the game, Melbourne game on Sunday, preparing for Melbourne, and then get the phone call on Monday morning saying that we're now playing West Coast. So you just shift and get on with it. Our forward scout probably took a deep breath and had to get to work a little bit harder than what he thought he'd had all done by the end of last week, but that's okay. We'll get on with that. That's only minor. It doesn't affect the team at all. We go about our preparation as normal. It just means that from a planning sense, we just need to take an extra day to make sure we get that in order. So, from the players' perspective, they don't see any impact at all. Obviously, even though we're changing different opponents, it means in a planning sense we have time to be able to sort through that, so no problems. As we've said all along, and as the AFL keep talking about it, things are going to be changing. We need to turn quickly and change, and that's what we'll do, because we need to keep the game going, and we understand there's plenty of people making sacrifices to do that, and the AFL are working extremely hard, on skeleton staff to be able to deal with all the complexities right across the country, all the different states, all the different health bodies. It'd be a pretty big challenge. So the least we can do is do our bit as clubs and just move with whatever's asked of us. You just look at their names up on the whiteboard, and yeah, you get a pretty good sense of perspective as far as what their team's capable of doing. So we plan for their best. That's what we always do. And if you look at West Coast best, they're very good. So. We know they're a really proud team with a lot of experienced, quality A-grade players in their team, and we'll be preparing for that.
They'll be adding another one, the West Coast Eagles, Jeremy McGovern, back after missing the last couple of weeks. Brisbane will take on Port Adelaide in a top four clash we mentioned a bit earlier, and we've mentioned a couple of times this week. Lachie Neale is hoping for a big showing from the Brisbane Lions and continue on their merry way, and he's hoping that he can take his kicking boots to the ground this week and turn 0-6 into maybe 6 straight. They take on the Power. It's a big game for the Brisbane Lions.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing in the hub, but they're doing it pretty well. So I think they're just playing some really exciting footy. I haven't had a chance to look too much into them this early in the week. So over the next couple of days, we'll do a bit more on the Oppo and get to know their game plan a bit more. And but even from playing them in the Marsh series earlier in the season, they were hard to play against. Defensively, they set up really well and stopped a lot of our attacks, and they were able to move the ball freely and through the corridor quite a bit. They've got some guys in really good form that are up and about and playing some great footy, so there'll certainly be some challenges there, but I'm not too sure what we'll do yet. We'll have to wait and see.
First versus third, that game, Port Adelaide undefeated at the moment. The Brisbane Lions have won all three of the games that they've played since returning from the break after losing in round one to the Hawks. A massive game down at the Cattery this weekend. If you're a Geelong fan, you'll be celebrating the careers of Gary Ablett and Joel Selwood. Gary Ablett plays game number 350. Joel Selwood, game 300. Matty Rowe plays game number 5. Chris Scott talked yesterday about the fact that they're probably going to have to tag him in his 5th game of footy. I don't think that's ever happened before, but Chris Scott yesterday was asked about the two club champions and bringing up their milestone games together.
We don't want that to be all consuming and take our focus away from what's most important, which is playing well against an up and coming side who are in really good form. I've always been of the view that the way we play on the weekend shouldn't be a referendum on how highly we rate the individuals participating in milestones. We'd like to honour those guys across the course of their career with the manner in which we go about it. But we also shouldn't shy away from the occasion. It's, I don't know for a fact, but I'm assuming it's the first time one team's had a player in his 350th and 300th in the same game. And they've just been remarkable players and people for our footy club. They'll go down as all-time greats, irrespective of what happens from here. So I think the way I would prefer to look at it is that it's a privilege to be in some way involved in the game. And it's important that we play well for a whole host of reasons. And the fact that it's a milestone for those guys is only one of them.
Big game this weekend for Geelong, celebrating Gary Ablett and Joel Selwood. Turning our attention to cricket before we finish up this morning, Aaron Finch spoke to the media yesterday on the back of the ODI series with Zimbabwe being postponed. It was scheduled to take place in August up in the far north of Australia. Won't go ahead, and Aaron Finch is now turning his attention to England in the hope that an upcoming tour with the Poms is still going ahead.
Yeah, it's a little bit up in the air, to be honest, mate. I think just with the, how quick everything's changing in Australia, I mean, obviously in Victoria, we're sort of going to the other way again. We've had a little bit of an outbreak. So again, we're not exactly sure when our next game is going to be. I think in our mind, we're planning for Zimbabwe. We're planning for England. And all going well, that England tour, I think that was our next game, wasn't it? I think that's what we're planning for. We're as a player, I know that in my mind, I'm preparing to go to England and play. Whether that happens, we'll wait and see. I think, like I said before, we just have to be really conscious of being ultra flexible in this. And there might be a tour comes up at relatively short notice because we can get there, and that'll be brilliant. Whatever it takes, I think that all the players are in the same boat. I know that all the Cricket Australia, for one, the ACA, whatever we have to do to get a game up and going, I think it is in the best interest of world cricket. We'll be looking to do that.
Looking forward to some cricket being played very shortly. We know overnight England confirmed that Joe Root will be out of the first match against the West Indies, and Ben Stokes will become the 81st captain of the England cricket side. That series coming up very shortly as well. Well, what about the 2023 One Day International World Cup in India? Is it too early to start having 11s being picked? Well, Alan Border was asked on Fox Sports that question, and he agrees it's far, far too early.
I think that might be a bit far ahead. I mean, sure, you can start looking at maybe some of the older guys, the realities of whether those guys are going to be around come 2023. That would be more likely that, himself and Warner and a few of the older guys on the side, are they going to sort of really target that as maybe a swan song to international cricket? The younger guys, I mean, we just have to wait and see who comes out of the woodwork, really. So I think it's more about the older guys. Are they setting themselves up to go, for another three or four more seasons? So that would be just a start-up conversation. But, it'd be interesting to see, pick a side now and see how close you get to a 2023 World Cup squad.
There you go. Alan Border talking about the 2023 World Cup series and whether it's far too early to pick a squad. I think it is as well. Alan, that wraps up the Breakfast Bite for another morning. Don't go anywhere, because after six, Andrew Mays and Scotty Gullen have a big show on The Breakfast Club. We'll find you a winner on the early mail. Sherelle McMahon will join the boys. John Quinn keeps us fit and healthy every Wednesday. We head over to Sydney with Charlie Gardner. Max Purcell is a tennis champion overnight. Hawthorne's Isaac Smith and Scotty McLaughlin will wrap it up before we finish at 8:30 and hand it over to Michael Felger. Enjoy your Wednesday. We'll do it all again tomorrow from 5:30.